Hello and welcome to the Claire Solan podcast. We're here with thanks to one of my favourite Irish brands, Sisterly. The multi-award winning multivitamin designed by women for women. Each daily powder sachet gives you 23 essential nutrients to support energy, immunity, hair, skin and hormones. It tastes great with no sugars and the sachets are perfect on the go. Visit sisterlylab.com to discover Sisterly today and start elevating your everyday this summer. More on my Sisterly journey later in the episode, but welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a long time coming, this podcast, and I am beside myself with joy that it is finally here. You may have been listening to Soul Sisters. Myself and Georgie Crawford have been together podcasting for the last 5 years. And it has always been my ambition to have my own podcast. And I know many of you have been in my DMs and meeting me and telling me to do it. So girls, I finally did it. I'm here. I am not alone, which is lovely. I'm here with one of my greatest friends, producer Caroline.
Hello.
Hello there. How are you?
Delighted to be here.
Caroline and I go back about 2 years. So we're only in the first throes of our friendship, really. But I think, as often happens when you meet people who you see, you know, you see them deeply and they see you, it feels like much longer. You were a soul sister. You were listening to Soul Sisters and you heard me talking about a retreat I was running with David Ford. And we had a great weekend over in Connemara. And we had a group of about 10 or 12 of us, including my brother-in-law, Brian, who is great crack and will get another mention later in this episode. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for taking part. But we had a wonderful weekend, didn't we, Caroline? We did. We meditated. We did some breath work. We did some sharing. We had some sea swims. We did a hike.
It was fabulous.
It really was. It was so great. And it was so lovely to be over in the west of Ireland as well. And I think on the last day, Caroline, you and I were chatting in the kitchen and we established that you're from Swords and my dad's family and his brother, Vincent, still lives in Swords. We figure out that you know Vincent because you live close to each other and you've seen each other at the supermarket and had a chit chat.
Yes. Plenty of times beforehand. And I knew his name was Vincent Solan and I never, never made the connection until you said it.
That's pretty cool. Like, that's significant to me when things like that happen in my life, those synchronicities. I always sit up and listen. I see I see them as a real sign of something, like there's a thread there to pull with somebody. So you and I stayed in touch, and every year I take groups of people to India on retreat, and we kept in touch, and you said, do you know what, I'm interested in coming to India. And we've been now in India several times together. We also did one of the Good Glow runs, one of Georgie Crawford's runs in Rome.
Last October.
That was my first visit to Rome. And let me tell you just a little bit about me for a moment. I am the kind of gal who can't be trusted the night before a wedding. And that is because I will get so excited. So excited in the anticipation of the wedding that I will be having a couple of jars and I'll be sitting in the pews the next morning feeling like absolute shit. And I must say that Caroline and I headed off in Rome to carb load the night before we did a half marathon together.
We were very good.
Off to carb load, but we were also very enchanted by the incredible al fresco waiters who just run Rome's restaurant industry. And They are a very convincing bunch of guys, aren't they?
They are. And look, it didn't take a whole lot of convincing, but they are.
So they were like, what's it going to be, girls? Is it going to be a Campari spritz or an Aperol spritz? And needless to say, we had both. And we had to get up the next morning to run the half marathon in 20 plus degree temperatures. And I don't think we ran together, shoulder to shoulder, all the way to the finish line. And I don't think we exchanged, and it wouldn't be like us, not many words.
Perhaps maybe five words.
Like, each. Help. Can we stop? Where's the toilet?
That's about the extent of it, yes.
But we had such crack. And if you are considering ever going on any of those group trips, running with the Good Glow Gang is just up there with the best buzz, isn't it?
God, it really, really is. It's something as well that I didn't, that was my first half marathon. Never in a million years did I think I would be able to do something like that.
Yes.
Only for the encouragement of the Crawfords did I make it to that start line. Never mind the finish line, the start line. They were just amazing. Really, really amazing trips.
And so you and I started talking maybe about working together on this podcast. You love a deep dive. Love getting stuck into research, and you love finding something that you need to figure out and going and doing that. I would say I don't. Sometimes my attention deficit is so poor that I may struggle to finish an email and I may struggle to get through a chapter of a book at times. So together, we're going to be unstoppable. What did you say to me? I think it's called body doubling. Is that right?
Body doubling. Yes. Such a good hack.
What is it?
It's almost like you're borrowing my nervous system. So we co-regulate together, which just means that I can come in with that bit of extra focus that you might struggle to find, and we can get what we need done. That's the number one goal.
Now, I love the jobs, but getting the job done, I would say, is something I have struggled with my entire life.
Yes, you are process oriented, whereas I'm outcome oriented. So together, we get to the finish line.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. And the reason that Caroline has put it so succinctly is because she's a psychotherapist.
I am. My secret superpower.
Exactly. So you're going to bring all of your incredible psychotherapy work to this podcast. I'm going to bring I'm going to bring all of my flighty whitey madness to the pod. For anybody who doesn't know me out there, anyone who doesn't know me from Soul Sisters, I am 45 years of age. I'm living in London. I'm single and I'm child free by choice. And I've gone on a bit of a journey over the last 10 years of my life to move from Dublin, where I grew up and worked in TV and radio, over to London because I really wanted to experience life in this city. I used to visit here a lot and be like, oh, I could move here and then settle back into Dublin. And so when I was going through a pretty difficult time in my life in my mid-30s, I met a man who was to become the most important man in my life. He was a shaman. He was a healer. He was a great friend. He was the funniest guy in the room. He meditated. He healed. His name was Dennis. And he was such a character. And he was from Kildare. And when he met me, he was like, you are the walking dead. You're a ghost. You're emotionally extremely distressed. And you are leaning on drink and other vices in order to get by. I was probably deeply depressed, if I'm honest, and really like trying to keep myself afloat. So when I met Dennis, Dennis said to me, do you know what you need to do? You need to pack it all in and head off to London. And I thought, Dennis, I can't, I don't have the money. And he was like, Claire, there's a bank on every single corner. Go borrow the money and go live your dreams. And what he'd said to me was, your fear of success is more significant to you than your fear of failure. And that really rang true to me because I was so used to failing. I had couldn't fall in love and hold on to a relationship. I'd lost my dream job. So in October 2014, he told me that. And on Valentine's Day 2015, I left Dublin and I landed in London with the promise of a couch and no job. The first 3 months were extremely difficult, but after, you know, trying and trying and trying to get into the TV industry, a friend of mine sent me a message on LinkedIn and said, have you seen the job at Magic Radio? I hadn't, but I knew the guy who was the boss at the time. I got in touch with him and I got the job. Dennis supported me through my life over here in London. He helped me go inward to find the wounds and the dysfunction and the sadness and the grief and bring it out up into the open, process it and let it go. And for those of you who followed me on Soul Sisters, you'll know that I believe in radical honesty. I enjoy sharing the ups and downs of my life for the betterment of others. And Dennis used to do that. That's something I've learned from him. And just before we move on, I want to give you another beautiful synchronicity that happened just this week. So Soul Sisters with Georgie Crawford wrapped up at the end of June. We did 10 episodes, as we always do in our seasons, season 10. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to kick off this podcast just after that. Then between the jigs and the reels, lads, a couple of things happened. Mercury retrograde. And we had some technical issues that meant we had to push it back until later in July. And so we settled on Friday, the 17th of July, as the launch date. And I was speaking to David Ford, who is a good friend and also was mentored by the lovely Dennis. And when I told him the date for kickoff, he said, are you aware what date that is? And I said, I know it's someday. I know it's significant, but I can't remember what it is. And he said to me, it's Dennis's birthday. So by some wild wizardry, I have managed to start this show, a project that Dennis was so keen for me to do on the day of his birthday. He passed away in September 2023, and losing him was really difficult. But he also managed to help me reframe death. And it's been heartening to know that he is not gone. Mm-hmm. And I have felt him in many guises since September 2023. So Dennis, this is for you. So I have been casually dating this lovely gentleman for about 6 months now. When I say casually dating, we've gone on 3 dates. Really laid back, and it's really casual. On Thursday, I was sitting here doing some work in a pool of sweat because, you know, London temperatures are no place for gingers. And boy, oh boy, it is very hot in my sweat box. And I was sitting here trying to write a script and find some inspiration. And ding, I got a text message. And it was this gentleman. And he said to me, hey, I've got tickets to jazz in central London. Do you want to come? And my immediate reaction was like, I'm sweating from every orifice. I look like absolute garbage. I'm not leaving my home. It would take too much to turn this tanker around. No, I'm not. And then I thought to myself, because I teach meditation, and in the mornings we have a small but dedicated crew of meditators, and we have been working on our sacral chakra this month, okay? Sacral chakra being the seat of our creativity, our sexual energy, our emotions. And what I've been saying every morning to the gals is do activities that help your sacral chakra. So I agreed, got myself together, got out, headed into town. He arrived and we were having a drink and he said, why don't we get a bottle for half time? I love that. You know, when you're in like a venue and they're like, do you want to get a drink for half time? Or so we did that. And we walked up to the entrance to the hall and he handed over his phone with the tickets on them. And the girl looked really confused. And he said, is everything okay? And she said, these are not the tickets. And he said, they are the tickets. And she said, no, they're not the tickets. So we stepped out of the queue and another lovely usher said to us, is everything okay? And my friend said, these are the tickets. And the usher said, no, sir, that event is not happening here. So it's kickoff time. It's time. It's like 2 minutes to 7:30. He's like, what? Oh, no. So we start running, racing towards the exit of the venue. We get to the door and he's like, oh, I can't believe this. I'm really sorry. I'm like, listen, don't worry about it. So we go to hail a cab and he goes, oh, no, the bottle of wine. Our halftime bottle of wine. And then I said, wait a second. Wait. And he looks at me and he goes, okay, will we just have the bottle of wine? So we turn on our heels, we go back down to the empty bar, we sit at the back and drink a bottle of rosé.
Oh my God.
It was magical. And it was so magical because we, in that moment, we could have, like, imagine the stress of mm-hmm. getting across town in a cab, trying to get in, like being late for the performance. So like, you know, we wouldn't have gotten in anyway. So we just took the present moment and made the best of it. Once we'd finished the wine, he was like, come on, we'll go now and we might make the second half. We jump in a cab, we get across town, we walk into the venue just as the first half finishes.
Talk about perfect timing.
That's what I thought. So we had a lovely evening. We watched some jazz the second half, about 45 minutes of jazz. It was cool. And then we headed out and had a chat on the warm and sweaty evening on a London street. And it was, as I sat there and we chatted and then I got a bus home, I just thought to myself, well done.
Yes.
Well done for saying yes.
It sounds like a movie scene. Honestly, everything that we would say wasn't supposed to happen happened, but it was actually all supposed to happen.
And that, I suppose, was my biggest realization. Roll with it.
Yes. One of the hardest things to do.
Very much so. Particularly, you know, and it was easy for me to say it maybe because I wasn't responsible for the mishap. Maybe I would have taken it a bit more personally if I had made the mistake. But genuinely, if life tries to redirect you or says no, accept it.
Exactly.
What were you up to yesterday?
So I was at a hen party, but it was a particularly wholesome hen party, I would say. So we started off with some lovely cocktails. And then we went up to a place in Smithfield and we painted pottery.
Ah.
Let me tell you something. I had the best time. So I would not consider myself to be a creative person. I kind of shy away from anything that might require my handiwork because I'm not a great painter. You know, I kind of, the perfectionist in me really comes out in times like these, where you can't really make a mistake if you're painting pottery because you can't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit trepidatious going in, and I decided to paint a flower pot. And the girls beside me were painting egg cups, and I thought, you've made a real mistake here. So anyway, in I get, and I got my hands dirty, and I just went for it, and I was painting. Everyone was chatting, and I was in the zone.
Don't have time to chat, girls. Got a whole flower pot here.
And this is very serious. So anyway, I was there painting, and I took a step back and I looked and I thought, oh, this feels like an ode to my inner child.
Ooh.
So there was a sun, there was a smiley face, there was some stars, you know, there was a sunflower, and it was bright and it was fun colors, you know, reds and oranges and yellows, and there was a butterfly, and I looked back and I thought, that's actually really lovely. And so we finished up there, and then we went and we had some lovely dinner, and then we did some karaoke.
Oh, what did you sing?
Well, of course, I sang Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
So I sang that, and we did a little bit of ABBA. We did we do any Westlife?
Oh, come on.
I don't think we did Westlife.
Did you not?
Actually, no.
World of Our Own now would be my...
Of course.
Those days, like, I remember we used to be in pubs, we used to be in clubs and bars, and these songs were like the soundtrack to our lives. I remember working in, when I was in university, I worked in AIB and Bank Centre in Ballsbridge, and we used to go down to Paddy Cullen's pub, and we used to be in there on a Friday evening singing at the top of our lungs, dancing, singing, you're creative, you know, your expression, and we just don't do it enough anymore.
We don't.
Culture has changed though, hasn't it? Like, it just... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So much of what we do now is on a device as opposed to a dance floor.
Yes.
And that needs to change.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Oh, well, that's good. That's a good inspiration. I'm going to see if I can get an old karaoke session in the next month, because the freedom... Okay, my karaoke song. I think my karaoke song would be... Oh, it's got to be obviously some Phil Collins, maybe.
Of course.
I can't tell you which Phil it would be now. Which one do I love? God, there's so many Phil options. The other one I think I absolutely adore is Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Absolute classic.
Now, you're going to murder Whitney because obvs, but it's so worth it.
You know what? Karaoke is just the funnest way to lose all inhibition. Just go for it. Have fun. Don't expect yourself to be good. Just enjoy.
You're not supposed to be good, for God's sake.
No, of course not. If you were good, you'd have a record deal, wouldn't you?
So true. This season of the Claire Solan podcast is brought to you with Sisterly. Sisterly, my favorite supplement brand. It was created by three friends with backgrounds in law, finance, and brand development. Jenny, Aoife, and Louise were united by a mission to give female health the time and attention it deserves. Sisterly was developed over 3 years with leading scientists and female health experts, designed to simplify supplement routines for women like us who are tired of juggling multiple pills. Now, I was one of those women who had a basket full of supplements, and it was quite unsightly, really, sitting on my counter in the kitchen. Now, this lovely box of Sisterly sits there in its place. And in this beautiful little sachet are 23 essential nutrients in one simple daily powder sachet. So in there, amongst others, coenzyme Q10, massive for your heart health and great for energy production. Vitamin B complex, vitamin C, D3 and K2, magnesium, zinc, and more. Women taking sisterly commonly talk about improved energy, better sleep, feeling more balanced, calmer, and more like themselves again. Sisterly is a simple daily habit that supports long-term vitality rather than a quick fix. I've been taking it for over a year, and I must say, I wouldn't be without it. You can find out more on their website, sisterlylab.com, and start elevating your everyday this summer. Okay, it's just as well I've had my shot of sisterly, because this next part of the episode is gonna be pretty confronting. And that's how I've designed it. I have no one to blame for this but myself. So, producer Caroline and I like to send each other recommendations of things that we read, things that we listen to, things that we watch, you know, just like we do on Soul Sisters. And while I was listening to Olivia Hunt's podcast on healing, I heard a guy called Matt Cook back in September 2025. Now, Caroline, tell us about Matt Cook.
Well, Matt Cook, he's a manifestation coach, and he's the author of his book, Beyond Wanting, The Art of True Manifestation. And his work is kind of grounded in a couple of different things. So there's neuroscience, there's ancient wisdom, and there's spirituality. So he dives into a lot of things around identity and nervous system regulation when it comes to manifestation. So he's a pretty interesting guy.
Very interesting guy. And so much so that when I heard the episode, I was compelled to go and get the book, because if there's something that I love, and we all do, it's a bit of manifestation.
Ah, yeah.
When I got to chapter 3, I got in touch with you, Caroline, and I said, wow, fucking wee. Matt suggests that in order to clear the channels for manifestation to occur, you should become even more self-aware. And you should be aware of the good things, but also the bad things. And the best thing to do to become more aware of the bad things is ask those around you who experience them. That is your family. So he suggests, and he did it, asking your family to tell you what your most annoying traits are, your worst habits are. So I decided to ask my sister, my brother-in-law, Brian, and my parents to tell me what they least liked about me. I have not looked at these, but I'm ready to share them. We'll start. Okay, producer Caroline, you've seen them.
Yes.
You have vetted them. You have told me that I won't want to divorce my family after reading them, but they're also quite funny, right?
They are. And do you know what I would love to ask you before we go into this? Mm-hmm. Can you guess what might be on these lists?
That's actually a very good question. Okay, the things I know that come up fairly regularly are, I'm not great with money. I eat too quickly. I also suspect that as a life coach, I do think that maybe my family sometimes think I'm a bit of a preacher. So I'm suspicious that that may come up, but I'm not sure if that's going to be my sis or my mom.
Okay. Okay.
Shall we start with Brian, because he is the crack and he can ease me in gently?
Let's do that.
Oh God, here we go. His writing is really small. Mm-hmm. Your most annoying habit is when you are getting me a Christmas present and you inevitably ask, maybe a new jumper? This exposes my inner fear that my jumper selection is actually shit, but I am actually cool with the fact that it is. I used to have cool jumpers, but the ones available these days are not cool. Maybe next year I'd like a jumper. The pen is running out, so I'll restrict myself to just one of your annoying traits. Sometimes you take offense when none was intended. Oh, I wonder, is he being real there?
How much would you agree with that?
I mean, that's definitely me in the jumpers for sure. I'm like, do you know what we'll get Brian? We'll get him a jumper. It's like getting men socks. It's so predictable. Yeah. So predictable. Okay, on to my sister. Now, I did say to my sister, please don't hold back. And she was like, I will have two A4 pages back in front. So a bit of context. My sister lives in Roscommon. I am sort of the city gal and she is the country gal. She has two little boys who are the jewel in the Solan crown. My sister's not backwards or going forwards. And I would say she has quite acerbic wit and sarcasm. So here we go. What does my sister think is my worst trait? Oh, there it is. Life coach mode. If I have a rant about something that has happened, situation, issue, Claire goes into life coach mode. I just want to give out about someone being a dick. Claire gets all spiritual and says, it's holding a mirror or triggering because of how I'm dealing with it. Sis, I'm just having a rant. Shut the F up and let me. Lol. Tomorrow I'll be ready for a post-match analysis. Now I just want to stamp my feet and have a bitch. You ain't got to be Oprah, yo. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of expected. Okay. Let's see what the parents said. Now, caveat here, my parents did, I think my dad in particular said that he felt Des not happy doing this, my mum said.
Aww.
Here we go. Mum and dad, she's written at the top. Always leave things to the last minute. That is 100% correct. That is who I am. If I don't have a deadline, I ain't doing it. Not a great timekeeper. Yes, my punctuality is questionable. I'm not the last person to arrive, but I'm certainly not the first. And actually, where was I? Today or yesterday, where I arrived early and I thought, this feels amazing.
What a treat.
Can't believe it. Never do it. Never do it.
Mm-hmm.
Time evaporates in my world. What does that indicate to you? If I was a client of yours, what would you say to me is the reason for that?
I would ask, have you gone through assessment for ADHD?
Right. Fair question. I would also say, because my mum is an excellent timekeeper, like, you know, being on time for her is being late.
Yes.
I think I have developed a kind of an inner rebellion toward that from my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, I really struggle with timekeeping. Okay. Three, quick tempered. Now, I would like to say that this has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say in my own defense that I have definitely been, I am a redhead. I have been quick tempered in the past. And I also would say that this is, I'm going to throw this back at you two, mum and dad. This might be a family trait. So I ain't out here on this angry island all alone, yo.
But yes. Yeah.
But yes, quick tempered, yes. Touchy, if remark made about your hair. Okay. So my mum has short, curly hair. I have longer, curly hair. Doesn't do it as much anymore, probably because I'm so touchy about it. But she will often say to me, I think it's time you got your hair cut. When was the last time you got your hair cut? And it used to absolutely yank my chain. Oh my God, number five, Bad with Money. Now, I expected that. But when you see it written down, like that's, she's not mincing her words there. Bad with Money. You know, you said time blindness.
Mm-hmm.
I would say also money blindness to a certain extent. And I've been PAYE for most of my career. So a salary has dropped in every month without me really thinking about it. I live alone. I have a cat to feed and a plant to feed as well as myself. So not many dependents. Since I was made redundant last year and I now work for myself in a freelance capacity, I have had to keep much more of an eye on what I'm spending, but I would say that it is still a big struggle for me.
Mm.
And I think you and I have talked about this. I think women sometimes, not all women, but we stick our little fingies in our ears and are like, nah, not looking at my budget, not looking at my bank balance, hoping for the best. Tappity tap, tap, tap.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm on that boat with you. I can be quite financially irresponsible, I would say. It's a tricky one. It is tricky, you know, because as a fellow self-employed gal, there's no set date, you know, that you're going to be paid. And, you know, so it makes it a little bit, yeah, a bit loosey-goosey, I would say.
Mm. And again, my mother is very good with money. Her dad was a bank manager back in the day, my granddad. And so, again, I just don't know if I've sprung into the direct opposite of what she is, rather than learning her best traits around money. I've actually become, you know, her exact opposite. This is something I would love to look into later on the podcast. I would love to deep dive into what it is. Because I think money in particular and our fears around money is quite generational. I think it's something that passed down through the ages and through the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks. Oh! Oh my God.
Oh God.
Oh, this is not great. Oh, as somebody who speaks on a podcast regularly, this is probably the worst news. Saying eh while thinking of the next word. I honestly was not aware of that.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
You've heard me do that, I assume.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is really valuable feedback, but it's kind of sent me into a little bit of a spin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm now trying to think back on all the conversations, say, I would have had with Georgie on Soul Sisters, where I would have been like, And do you know what's interesting about in this maybe attention deficit world we're in now, is like, I'm not finished speaking. Please don't stop listening. I'm coming back with something, but I just haven't formulated my next word or thought.
Yes.
I think that's what that is.
Your mind is buffering, trying to figure out how to get to the next part of whatever I'm saying.
And maybe particularly now in this kind of perimenopausal place that I'm in, where words do disappear or trains of thought leave the station before I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if that has increased.
That'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on now. And at what points does that show up for you as well?
Oh, wow. Number seven is also brutal. That's brutal now. Sometimes has a hard, harsh laugh. Now, Now, I'm going to caveat this, first of all, by saying I know the laugh she's talking about. But also, my mum, her hearing is at the same level as Kat's, you know, razor sharp.
Yeah.
So what might be a dull kind of laugh in other people's presence is very offensive to her ears.
Yeah. And I have to say, that's one of my favourite things about you. It's your big laugh.
Okay, good. Yes. Right, we're coming to, she's given me 9. This is interesting. Number 8 is what I predicted, eat too fast. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's something that I'm thinking about these days. I was talking to somebody the other day who was talking about the amount of times you're supposed to chew. Mm. And if the more you chew, the more your digestive enzymes are activated. And so that your digestion becomes better because the whole process is supercharged, is boosted. Uh-huh. I must say I am somebody who, you know, picks up a knife and fork and just goes for it. I'm not I'd love to be more Mediterranean in my way. I hope to do that in my future. And perhaps now that my parents have highlighted it for me, it's now time to start doing that.
Yes.
I think you're supposed to chew like between 20 and maybe 35 times.
Yeah, it's quite a few times.
Each mouthful. So it becomes really mindful mm-hmm. and really deliberate. Mm-hmm. But I do sit, it's one of my bugbears. I do sit at the table with my mum and dad now. And they don't, in fairness, they don't say it as much anymore because I'm 45. but it is, I sometimes do look around the table and they are, you know, halfway through their meal and I am just wrapping up.
Yes.
So I also think it's something that because I live alone, mm-hmm. I haven't really had that other person or people around me to kind of stagger me.
Yes.
How about you? How fast do you eat?
I would say I'm an average eater. It's not something that has ever been shown to me or that I've noticed generally. Now I don't like to finish a dinner when it's cold. You know, the food does need to stay warm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So there is a bit of a time crunch on it.
That's quite fascinating. I race through my food, but I have no problem with cold food or like a cold cup of tea. I'll drink the end of a cold cup of tea. No bother.
Really? Oh yeah. My God. You couldn't pay me to drink a cold cup of tea or coffee unless it's supposed to be cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want the final frustration from mum and dad? Oh, this is kind of sweet. Mm-hmm. Number 9, underestimating your own abilities.
Well,
that's a compliment in a list of insults.
We have to finish off soft here.
Yeah. And you know what? That's fair enough. That is also definitely something that I have been guilty of in my past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, sweaty paws.
Yep.
Sweaty pits. But we got there. And there's so much food for thought there. And I don't know, I would love to hear from you if you would consider doing this. So Matt Cook is the guy who suggests this is a good exercise. Some of the feedback he got was he's too busy, he's too serious. And his wife said to him, if you want to be a manifestation coach and help other people, she said to him he wasn't a great listener. That's difficult to hear. He does say, though, if you want to manifest love, you have to be aware of when you're putting yourself down. If you want financial abundance, you have to be aware about the amount of time you spend complaining about money. So, you know, maybe give this a go. Have you got a partner? Have you got a friend or a sister or a member of your family who you can do this with? It's not easy, but I think it's a really valuable exercise. And it also gives you kind of thicker skin. I'm going out into the world now feeling like I have more of an appreciation of who I am on the good days and the bad.
Bit of a fuller picture.
Yeah. And you know what? The only difficult thing really in there is, and I know it's true, I can see my sister's face when she starts to tell me a story and I'm like, hang on, this is why this is happening. So I'm just going to have to listen to her and not offer any sort of, I'm going to be a sounding board rather than a life coach.
Exactly. And you know what? That is one thing that I had to really work on as well. You know, moving from therapist mode into sister, friend, whatever, you know, personal mode, because it's very easy to step into that and say, you know what your problem is? And coming back to just being, if you think about it, just a blank wall that somebody can splash their own color onto, you know, as you are the sounding board, it's helpful, but it's difficult.
And I think there's a certain element, right, when somebody comes to you maybe and wants to have a rant, where you kind of reject them in that moment. Like, I don't want you to bring your bad energy to the yard. So I'm like, that's probably quite a bad habit. Mm. People just want you to listen sometimes and not fix. Mm-hmm. So point taken. Thank you, Ruth.
Brené Brown talks about that actually, doesn't she? She says, you know, it was really helpful in her relationship with her husband and her kids to ask them when they come to her with whatever's going on for them, do they want to have it fixed or do they just want her to listen? And so, you know, from the outset, what we're both here for.
Now, that's really good humaning.
Yes, isn't it?
That's really good, clear communication. That's what I'm going to take from this.
Mm.
Thank you. Okay, that's it for episode one. If you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, I would love to hear from you. So head to our show notes and you'll find there is a link to a WhatsApp number so you can get directly in touch with us. Also by email, it's claresolanpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm running a retreat in September, the 13th of September, and it's going to be down in Annamcara in Glendalough, which is a beautiful, beautiful part of the world, down in the Garden of Ireland in Wicklow. If you'd like to come along, we're going to be doing some yoga, we'll be doing some breathing, we'll be doing some meditation, we'll be doing some work, some workshops in the afternoon, and then we'll get out into the acres of green land and forest and find ourselves in nature and do some integration. If that sounds like a bit of you, come along. Myself and producer Caroline would love to see you. You can see that link in our show notes also. See you next time.